Public Broadcast Radio, PBR.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of PBR's Hour of Classics, featuring three previously broadcast radio programs from the golden days of the Public Broadcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Craig Tapper, and with me as always is the lovely and talented Barley Hopper.
Indeed I am, Craig.
So, Barley, what shows do we have on tap for our listeners tonight?
Well, Craig, first we have a chilling Old West ghost story in a town called Mirage, followed by a heartwarming tale called Wind that's sure to get your emotions brewing. And for last call, we have an episode of the action-packed sci-fi adventure, The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon.
That's not all we have in store for our listeners, Barley. We have a special surprise guest tonight for later in the show.
Well, I'm sure our listeners out there are as excited as I am. Let's not waste another moment and get right into the first show.
Sounds like a plan. First up is A Town Called Mirage, the very first episode of the Old West series. The show ran for 5 years on PBR and was pretty popular. It was about a town in the West that was populated completely by ghosts.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. Let's not waste another moment and get right to it.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Barley. All right, listeners, without any further ado, here is A Town Called Mirage.
The desert is vast enough to hide anyone who does not care to be found. If you have the know-how and a little luck on your side, you can slip away into the vast reaches of the West, wandering like a ghost on the prairie. We join one such fugitive as he braves the plains for shelter. He's riding a pale horse that's almost as tired as he is. He's weary, parched, and burned by the sun after many days of riding, all of which take their toll on a man. When you're out in the desert as long as he's been, the mind starts to play tricks on you, and you can't trust your senses.
What in the name of? Willie, you see what I see?
No!
I'm crazy. You're one to talk. You're the one talking to a guy who thinks he's talking to a horse. Call me crazy. Now, yeah! Oh, B, it's an old boomtown, half buried by the desert. Look at the state of this place. Probably was in shambles before it was abandoned. Only things that haven't fallen down yet are the general store, marshal's office, and the saloon. Speaking of the saloon, won't be but a moment, pal. Maybe a couple of moments. It's gonna be a while. Want me to bring you anything? That might be a good idea since you're driving and all. I'll see you in a bit. Hello? Anyone else here in this establishment? No one to object to me, a parched traveler, sampling some of this fine merchandise? There ain't. Well, that's mighty neighborly of you, not being there and all. I'll just get along with my business, be on my way. Now, let's see if they have a serviceable claret or fruity rosé. Jiminy crickets! Who goes there? I'm armed. Oh, wait, it's just one of them player pianists. Must have set it off when I came in somehow. I hate those things. No feeling to them. Never heard this tune before, though. Wonder what it's playing. Well, there ain't no role of music in this here player piano. The only means by which a player piano can actually play. But if there ain't no role in it, then how can it be playing a tune?
Easy. Someone is playing it, you just don't see him.
Ah, that makes sense, I guess. Wait, who said that? Show yourself now or I'll start shooting this place up.
Sir, please don't do that.
All right, you asked for it.
Sir, I asked for the opposite, literally the opposite. So please stop shooting up my bar, you'll just hurt yourself. And destroy my merchandise.
I'll do as I please. Now you come out here.
Of course, sir.
Phantasmagoria! Where'd you come from, Missy? There was nobody standing by that bar a moment ago.
I actually was, matter of fact. You just didn't see me. Just like you didn't see old Salty Pete tickling the ivories over there.
Howdy, stranger. Any requests?
Yeah, I got a couple requests as it happens. First of all, I'd like to know how y'all are just appearing out of nowhere to get the drop on me like this. How'd you two do it? Something to do with mirrors?
Well, that's all pretty easy to explain, Mr.
Virgil.
Nice to meet you, Virgil. My name is Eliza, and I'm the owner of this hair saloon.
That's a mighty pretty name you have there, Miss Eliza. It suits you well.
You flirt. Anyhow, we can appear out of thin air because we are and we are not actually here.
Is this one of them what's the sound of one hand clapping sort of things? Ain't never had the temperament for them.
Well, not exactly. The truth is that you've wandered into a ghost town, Virgil. Welcome to the township of Mirage.
Oh, nice to meet all you ghosts. Right, so you're all dead then?
Last I checked. What was that in aid of?
Oh, I was just making sure. Huh, this is the craziest hallucination I've had to date. Can't wait to tell Willie all about it.
Who's Willie?
Oh, nobody you need to worry about, Miss Liza. Don't listen to me, I'm just working through some things right now. It's been a long, long ride, apparently.
Want some liquid courage?
Yeah, I'd be much obliged. What do I owe you?
Oh, on the house. Besides, I ain't got any use for money now.
Right, ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But you still tend bar? Pouring spirits is a peculiar thing for a spirit itself to do.
Well, as owner of this here dive, it is my responsibility to see the needs to every mortal soul who walks through my saloon doors.
I'd think dying would get you out of that sort of gig.
Well, it's the sort of responsibility death doesn't take away, Virgil.
Oh, so you're all the sorts of ghosts that have unfinished business on this here earth, ain't you?
Everyone in Mirage has unfinished business.
How'd all this come about, Liza?
Well, the town of Mirage was once the greatest concentration of liars, cheats, vagabonds, and ne'er-do-wells in the whole of the Wild West. When a sandstorm suddenly rolled through town and claimed us all, our spirits were forced to remain here as punishment for our wicked deeds in life. Legend has it that the worst of the West were always destined to come here and destined to live out this curse. Whether or not it's true, we all have to make up for our misdeeds and help the living avoid the same fate.
Including yourself, then?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Miss Liza. I shouldn't have brought the matter up.
Oh, no, it's all right. You have to acknowledge it before you can move past it. It's good to get it all out in the open, Verge, you know? At least that's what our support group says. Well, thanks for listening, Verge.
Only glad to. Though it's strange, having someone at the bar listen to all the bartender's woes for a change.
Everything is different here, Virgil, which is why I cannot recommend that you stay too much longer. You've been refreshed. Now it's time for you to get. It's not safe.
Why? What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong, he says? Don't you know that nothing good ever comes of saying that?
Well, well, well. The rumors of a stranger in Mirage were true.
Don't come in here, Marshal. He hasn't done nothing but take a drink.
Come now, Ms. Liza. I'm only doing my duty as a sworn justice of the peace in this here town. Now, what's your name, son?
Marshal?
What are you, Liza? Is Ma? Tell me your name, boy.
It's Virgil, sir. Now, with whom do I have the pleasure?
My name is the law, son, and you better respect it.
Fair enough, Marshal the Law, but... Now, actually, is your name Marshal the Law or the Law Marshal? Want to make sure I address y'all right and proper.
That's not wise, Virgil.
You best listen to your lady friend, boy. I am the Marshal. This town is my domain. It's my business to deal with all the sorry criminals that cross my path.
As Miss Liza pointed out, Marshal, I have not committed a crime here.
But you are a criminal. I can see it on you. A liar and a cheat through and through. You're wanted in connection with over 20 crimes, from fixing wagers...
Some people are just sore losers, which is why I wanted to win.
To bank robbery.
There was a misunderstanding regarding my overdraft limit.
All the way down to murder.
The judge threw out the charge due to the faultiness of eyewitness testimony. I mean, I didn't do it.
Boy, I assume Miss Liza's told you of our poor township's unhappy fate to walk the earth after our time. While it's tragic, I can't say it was wholly undeserved, and that it isn't useful now.
Useful? How could you say that about an eternal torment?
What better way to imprison the most dangerous and vile criminals for all time? No appeal, no parole, no escape. And now we've caught ourselves a new prisoner, just waiting to be locked up. It's time for you to face the consequences of your actions, boy.
Not here, Marshal. You can't stop me from tending to my guests while they're in my saloon.
You're right, Ms. Liza. I can't interfere with your unfinished business while in your territory. So I'll leave you to your guest. But the second he walks out that door, he's mine. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Welcome to Mirage, Virgil. Make yourself at home.
That was subtle. Just so you know, Eliza.
He was telling the truth about you.
Yeah, I suppose it weren't too hard to guess.
It's like I said, Virgil. Everyone here in Mirage has unfinished business. But don't worry. No matter what you did before you came here, I have no business judging you.
Unfinished business?
I wish I hadn't kept you so long. Then I could have gotten you out of here before he knew. But I didn't have any other choice. I have to tend to my guests.
Eliza, why is the Marshal still in Mirage? What is his unfinished business?
Do you honestly think that the Marshal of a lawless town like Mirage would have been on the straight and narrow in his life?
No, but why do you and everyone else here try to help people from their unlawful ways? He tries to punish them.
To be honest, Virgil, I didn't know the Marshal before the storm. There were rumors about him being crooked, looking the other way for a price. But you can never believe what you hear. Crooked or not, his negligence brought on Mirage's fate, and now he's charged with punishing all the wicked he let roam free in life. He keeps us all here where we can never rest.
Do you think there's a way to satisfy his unfinished business?
You're a genius, Virgil. It's not like a town of restless ghosts would try to find a way to put their spirits at ease before you happen to show up.
I'm just trying to think what I can do here, all right? This is useless. Probably just having heat stroke and dreaming up this whole mess.
If it was all just a dream, then why don't you walk out that door and leave? You wouldn't have to worry about anything then, now would you? That's what I thought.
What can I do here, Liza? I thought I was making a break for a new life somewhere on the coast where I wouldn't have to bother another soul for the rest of my days. Put my hand to honest labor, make something that was my own. Never dreamed something like this would happen. How could I? If a barfly ever needed advice from a bartender, 'twere me.
I know. But I'm the wrong person to ask, Virgil. If I knew how to put a spirit to rest, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Why are you not at rest, Miss Liza? Why must you tend the needs of everyone who comes into your dive?
Truth be told, Virgil, I was a selfish woman in life. This saloon once belonged to my father, who came close to bankruptcy on account of being too generous with his food and drink. Sometimes I wouldn't see a regular meal on the dinner table for weeks, even though our guests were so fat they could sink a steamboat. We had nothing to pay back our creditors, and I inherited his debts when he died. I swore to never repeat my father's mistakes, and I watched the business like a buzzard watches a person on death's door. I was only just keeping the saloon above water when one fateful night came along. It seemed to be a normal night like any other, after my creditors failed to scare me into paying back more than I could possibly manage. I was thinking over my troubles when through the saloon doors came a young lady, no older than 18 years. She had been riding for many a day, judging by the dust on her once pretty and expensive petticoat. Her face looked tired, almost pathetic, and I could see fear in her eyes. She was a hopeless case. Looked out of place next to the riffraff who called my saloon their home away from home. I almost wanted to laugh when she walked up to my bar.
Hello, miss. I'm Abigail Sumner.
Pleasure to meet you, Abby. I'm Eliza. Welcome to my establishment. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if I could prevail on you for some food. It's been a long ride, and I must say that I'm famished.
Well, we don't have much size franks and beans in a couple of different sauces.
That'll do nicely, thank you.
All right, let me just get all the fixings over here. So, what brings you out to Mirage, Miss Abby?
Well, in all honesty, my circumstances are not happy ones, Miss Eliza. During the recent market downturn, my father's fishing business in Massachusetts went bankrupt. He decided that he would try and move out west to be involved in railroad speculations instead, and decided to take the family with him.
Oh, how interesting.
I would never have dreamed of leaving the East had my dear fiancé not been taken so suddenly by typhoid last winter.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't matter now. I was more than happy to see what opportunities lay out West. It all seemed so promising. That is, until our train derailed into a gorge, and the resulting crash separated me from my dearest family, and forced me to survive in an inhospitable desert with no provisions.
Oh, dear.
I had been wandering aimlessly out in the wilderness without food and drink for days on end until I found this town. It truly was a godsend. I almost thought I wouldn't make it.
Ah, poor sweetie. Now here's your plate. That'll bring you around. That'll be 15 cents.
Oh, well, Miss Eliza, I'm afraid that I am without any means due to my myriad misfortunes. I was hoping you would be able to help.
Well, this ain't a halfway house for scroungers on the make, young missy. This is a business, and it's not good for business to fritter away product just because you had a bad day.
Miss Eliza, I swear
to... Listen, I don't tolerate scroungers here. Now get gone.
But Miss Eliza, have you no pity?
Listen, no one ever took pity on me, Miss Abby. I never asked them to, and I somehow made do. You take from life what you can, because others are more than willing to take what they can get from you. That's what living out here taught me. And you'd be wise to learn the same. Now get! Looking back on it, it seems like I wasn't even myself then. Maybe it was the pressure of the debts, but that's just an excuse. Even though she and I had hardship in common, I forced her out into the cold. That was the last I ever saw of Abigail Sumner in person. But I heard of the many legends about her months later. Without any means, she resorted to taking anything she wanted and killing those who got in her way. Awful Abby Sumner became the scourge of the Wild West. Soon the fastest gun between Kansas City and Santa Fe. She had many a run-in with the law, but always able to escape. Until a posse led by the Earp brothers finally got up to her and shot her down. As she was dying, she managed to get out her last words.
I don't regret anything I did, even though I was forced into a life of crime because no one was there to lend me a helping hand. If only someone had taken mercy on me, it would have stopped the snowballing of terrible, tragic events which led me to this day. If only there was...
Soon after I heard the news of her death, the storm came through and claimed the town. I've been paying for my selfishness ever since.
You weren't being selfish, Liza. You were trying to keep yourself from ruination.
Oh, thank you, Virgil. But I allowed others to come to ruination and death through my coldness. I all but told her to commit those crimes. That's why I must aid everybody I can from now on.
What if you didn't?
Didn't what?
Well, what if you didn't help everyone who came into your saloon? What would happen?
Oh, Virgil, I can't even think about that now. I'm not allowed to. I just have to help.
But if you didn't, I'd assume there'd be consequences for you. Negative consequences.
Yes, there would be. Worse than haunting this here ghost town.
So, the Marshal's cursed to upholding the law for everyone in Mirage, right? What if I could get him to go against his unfinished business? He'd suffer that fate worse than haunting, right?
I reckon so.
Bullseye! Now all we gotta do is convince him to commit a crime so that he'll suffer a fate worse than a fate worse than death. Huh. This will be a tough bit to chew.
I've got it. Empty your gun.
What? Why?
Trust me, Virgil. Trust me. Besides, if you didn't think that those bullets would do much against a specter, did you?
Point taken.
Now here, take this.
Are you soft in the head? You really expect I could just use this? Wait a minute. Liza, you're a genius.
Oh, thank you kindly, but it weren't nothing, Virgil. It was all your idea. I just helped you with the hard parts.
Tend to the need of every mortal soul, huh? You really are a remarkable woman, Miss Liza. Why don't I come see you when all this is over?
Why's that? Won't you be leaving Mirage as soon as?
I suppose so. Is that what you want?
Why would what I want come into whether or not you stayed here?
Well, I just thought that... Well, we had a... You know, Oh, never mind.
What's the matter, Virgil?
Forget it. It's not important.
He's a strange one, he is. Trying to romance the living dead? Just ain't right.
Huh. He ain't out here yet. Maybe I could make a run for it. Good to see you're still hanging around, Willie. Hey, a lot's happened since I left you, pal. Long story short, I'm waiting to duel it out with a ghostly gunfighter who wants to trap me here for all eternity. You're telling me, buddy.
So, you finally let go of Mama's dress to come out and play.
Yes, sir, I did. This may be shocking to you, Marshall, but I'm not the sort of man who likes to leave matters unfinished.
What did you just say to me?
Well, I like to take care of my responsibilities, not just slack them off. Like you did when you let this town go to pot.
Don't speak of matters you don't understand, boy.
Now, knowing your propensity to slack off the job, I'd be happy to save you the effort by just saddling up old Willie here and leaving Mirage. You wouldn't have to worry about any errant criminals in your town, and, well, I wouldn't have to worry about being trapped here forever. Sound like a deal?
I have to uphold the law you have broken while you're in my town, son. Your cheating ways won't get you out of this, no matter how hard you try.
All right, then. I gave you the opportunity to solve this without tragedy, but you refused my offer.
A wise man never accepts the embrace of a serpent.
And how did Mommy send you off to school every day, Marshall?
I'll take that as resisting arrest, boy. That makes you hostile in any court, mortal or immortal. Now prepare to draw.
I have no intention of drawing, Marshal.
Well, I do, and I don't propose to wait for you to catch me up.
So be it, Marshal. It's your funeral. Again. Ah!
Bullseye, you cowardly cheat. You didn't even have the stomach to draw.
Nope. No, I didn't, Marshal.
You just tried to distract me by waving your gun in the air like a loon with that thing on it, whatever it was.
Oh, you mean this. It's just a cloth. White cloth from Miss Elizabeth's saloon, in fact. Suspect it's usually meant to clean out her glasses, but now it's tied to the barrel of my empty gun and flown as a white flag.
What?
Let me spell it to you straight, Marshal. You just shot down a man who had no bullets in his gun, who offered to leave your town peacefully, and who flew the flag of surrender. Now you're a man of the law. What does that all make you, Marshal? Because from where I'm standing, it makes you a murderer.
No, that can't be right.
I've been told that if a ghost in Mirage were to ever go against their unfinished business, they'd be in for some real trouble. Now tell me, Marshal, what happens to the lawman who breaks the law?
No, this isn't how it's supposed to be. This can't happen. My gun, it's gone. Disappeared into grains of sand. Chains, they're pulling me down. I can't fight.
I can't say as I feel sorry for you, Marshal.
How dare you say that? How dare you come here and judge me, condemn me to this, when you know nothing of me or this town?
You wouldn't have let me go, Marshal. I had to do what I could.
Look at you talk. What did you think I was doing when I was still alive, boy? You have no idea what this town was like back then. If I went after any criminal, I wouldn't have lasted a minute. I'd like to have seen anyone do different, including you. It was only in death I could finally do my job, finally be a man of the law. You took that away from me. You've taken everything away from me, you yellow-bellied cheat. You'll pay for this. You'll get what you deserve. I swear it!
That was subtle.
Virgil, the plan worked. The marshal's gone. You, we're all free. Oh, no. Look at your wound.
Don't worry. I've been stitched up for much worse. I couldn't have done it without you, Miss Liza. Like I said before, you're quite the remarkable woman, and you saved my life.
I've come to learn the value of life, Virgil.
And so have I. For that, I'll be grateful for what I've been given. That's why I'll go out west and become a new man, abandon my cheating, lawless ways, make an honest living for the first time in maybe just the first time.
Well, that sounds like a good plan, Virgil.
It sure does bring a smile to my face. Miss Liza, I can't stand up.
What? What do you mean, Virgil? Are you trying to?
I've been trying this whole time. Didn't think the shot was that bad. Doesn't feel that bad. Though now I think about it, I can't feel anything. What's happened to me, Miss Liza? Is this to do with ghost bullets or something?
I don't know.
Don't lie to me, beautiful.
A ghost has never gunned down a mortal soul here before today, Virgil. I have no idea what's going on with you.
Good to know we're all breaking new ground today. How bad do I look?
You? Well, you, Virgil, I'm so sorry. I had no idea this would happen. Is there anything I can get you, Virgil? Anything? What would you like?
I think I'd just like to rest now, if it's all the same to you. I'll see you soon.
What could possibly go wrong? Virgil. Oh, no, Virgil. I'm so sorry.
The desert is vast enough to hide anyone who does not care to be found. If you have the know-how and a little luck on your side, you can slip away into the vast reaches of the West, wandering like a ghost on the prairie. We join another such wanderer as he happens across the saloon of an old ghost town, a ghost town called Mirage.
Hello? Is there anyone hiding in here? Maybe the owner of that lonely-looking horse feeding in the old trough outside? Oh, hate them player pianos. Except for giving you a fright, they ain't got no life in them. Except there's no role in there, is it? Just playing itself all creepy-like. I won't lie. I'm feeling mighty vulnerable right now. You mind saving me this suspense? My heart can't take it.
There's no need to fret, stranger. You're among friends here.
Well, unless you're real good at throwing your voice, I don't seem to be among much of anything.
I understand. Why don't we all reveal ourselves to this fine gentleman?
Great Caesar, seizures! You all nearly gave me a heart attack! What is this place? Who are y'all?
Trust me, I know firsthand how shocking it can be. You've wandered into a ghost town, stranger, and we are its ghosts. Welcome to Mirage. Allow me to do the introductions. The man tickling the ivories over there is Salty Pete.
Howdy, fella.
The pretty, eternally young thing behind the bar is Miss Eliza, the owner of this fine establishment.
Now, what can I do you for, fella?
And I am the marshal. This here township's my domain. Please, make yourself at home.
Wow, what a story. It gave me the chills, but it was very entertaining.
Spooky indeed, Barley. I can see why people really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, it was full of excitement and adventure.
It gained more popularity when the writers changed the format to have a weekly story where celebrity guests came in and played people or ghosts who needed the help of Eliza or the Marshal.
I might have to go find some of those old episodes and give them a listen now.
Not a bad idea, Barley. But before we continue, I'd like to take a moment to mention the Hour of Classics' biggest underwriter, the Moore Corporation. With many different products over many different years, Moore has been dedicated to making everyday life less of a hassle. From canned meat products and desserts to floor wax and other household cleaning products.
Too right, Craig. If you need something to make your life more convenient, just ask for Moore.
So, what do we have in store next for our listeners out there?
Next up is Win, another show that was a series here on public broadcast radio back in the day.
Why don't you tell our listeners a bit more about it before we play the episode for them?
My pleasure, Craig. Win was a feel-good series about a boy named Winslow who would appear in the lives of people who needed help in some way, but needed a push to get them going in the right direction. What we have tonight is the very first episode of Win, where he comes to the aid of a couple whose lives have lost direction.
Well, that does sound pretty interesting. Let's get right to it then. Ladies and gentlemen, Win.
Good morning.
So you say.
Can I help you?
Restroom for the boy?
I gotta go now.
You have a public restroom, I suppose?
State law requires it if you serve food and beverage.
Well, where is it?
In the back, to the right.
Go on, then.
What?
Use the potty.
Where is it?
Well, where is it?
Back and to the right. It's marked.
The boy can't read.
Oh, well, come on, then. I'll show you.
Okay.
What's your name?
Winslow.
Winslow? What a nice name.
You're a nice lady. You can call me Win.
Well, restroom's in here, Win.
Thank you.
He might need me. He manages the toilet all right, but doesn't always manage to button up after. He's, you know, not quite right in the head.
Oh, I didn't notice. He just seemed a little shy.
Shy? He's got autism.
Oh.
I think it's autism anyway. What do doctors know? Something odd about that boy anyway. Very odd.
That must be difficult. Are you... Do you...
Well, spit it out.
Would you care for a cup of coffee on the house?
Coffee? You serve coffee?
We're trying light food and beverage to increase the foot traffic.
On the house? Yeah, all right. I'll take a cup.
Coming right up. Please, have a seat.
I thought this was a pottery shop.
It is. We make and sell ceramics. People rent space, mostly evenings.
Yeah, I see your little flyer here. Let art put magic in your life. Magic. Right. They do this at night?
You know, people work during the day. My husband thought maybe coffee and muffins would bring in more people daytimes.
Oh, I get it. It's a marketing gimmick. Feed your soul. More like buy my stuff, my art.
Here you are. How do you take it?
Cream, no sugar. Unless you have sucrose. Oh, powdered creamer? Never mind.
I'm sorry. That's the best we can do until we get a refrigerator. My husband's out now, looking at a used one he found in the one.
Winslow, you done in there! Winslow, I said, are you done in there?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Wash your hands. Close the door. You have to tell him everything.
It must be very difficult being the mother of a special needs child.
Oh, he's not mine. I mean, I'm not his mother. I'm in foster care.
I see.
County pays pretty well for it, if you got room for kids. I got room.
How nice for you.
Basement, converted garage. I get paid for referrals. I got an application. Winslow, though, he'll likely go back to county. Don't think he'll get adopted. Special needs. Pain in the... Buttons! Do up your buttons, Winslow!
I did! I did my buttons!
Then tuck in your shirt tail! We gotta get a move on! I've got a meeting with a man from the county. He's on my case. What time is it?
Almost noon.
Noon! Oh, great! The appointment's for 12:30, and getting this one from one place to another...
You know, we've got a class. Yes, a special class for kids starting at 12 o'clock. If you'd like to leave Winslow here, he's welcome to join us.
Special class, huh? Oh, I get it. Free coffee, then you try to sell me on pottery classes for an oddball.
He's standing right... No. No, there's no charge. We offer free classes. Yes, as part of our educational outreach program.
Free classes?
It's called pottery, yes. Personal opportunity to teach and educate and recreate youth.
That's the name?
We're still working on it. It's very new.
Well, I don't care what you call it if it's free, and it gets Winslow here off my hands for an afternoon. These county people can be difficult to deal with if you get some do-gooder that's into a lot of rules and regulations.
How long do you need?
They said set aside 2 hours, but I was going to hit a couple other places downtown. Could I come back, say, 4:30?
Sure.
Maybe closer to 5?
Take as long as you need.
Winslow, this nice lady's going to take care of you for the afternoon. You be good and don't give her any trouble. You hear?
Yes, Mrs. Kruger.
Well, Mrs. Kruger, I'm so glad to have met you. Don't worry about the time. I'll take care of Winslow until you get back.
Well, that's great, Miss...
Parker. Ellen Parker? Parker Pottery. It's right there on the sign.
Sign?
The sign outside, just above the doorway. I'll see you at 5. Bye-bye.
Free classes.
Unreal. So... Wynn, would you like a muffin?
What makes the potty wheel turn?
Pottery wheel. There's a pedal down here, like the one you have on a bicycle.
Some kids don't have a bicycle. I'm too small to reach the pedals.
Well, I'll do this one for you, just for now, until you're big enough. We could use the electric wheel.
Electric?
Electric. You know, with the motor, like a machine. This one here.
Wow!
When you're ready, but you start out with this one.
I do?
Well, everybody does, when they're learning. I did when I was about your age. My grandmother taught me. She was really good. Famous, in fact. As famous as you get playing with clay. Looky here. See? You spin the wheel turns the clay, and then you shape it with your hands.
Is that how you made all those? Those up there, on the shelf. Did you make them?
Oh, I made some of them. Tom made some. That's my husband. Some are from...
Who?
You know, other people.
Can you teach me how to make something like that?
Like those? Well, sure, I can teach you. Are you ready to try?
Oh, no. Is it 5 already?
Oh, no, it's only... It's okay, Winslow. That's my husband. That's Tom.
Hi, honey.
Tom, clay on my hands.
I'm wearing overalls. Well, what have we here? Or should I say who?
Tom, this is Winslow. Winslow, this is Mr. Parker.
Hello.
Well, Winslow, it's always a pleasure to meet a fellow student of the ceramic arts.
You're a student?
Well, we're all learning, aren't we? Let me tell you, I learned a thing or two about refrigerators today.
Did you get one?
In the pickup.
Oh, honey!
Hey, clay hands.
Come here.
Oh, it's only a mini fridge. But that'll do for now. We'll look at it later, after Winslow's gone home.
Well, Winslow is here with us all afternoon.
Oh?
Yes, his foster mother dropped him off. She had a meeting with the county.
The county?
Yes, I eskew raid imhay. Ig pay atinlay, insloways osterfay, other may, is yay, a yay, eel ray, it.
Pig Latin! I yay, eek spay, it yay, eel ray, ud gay. She said, rescued from Mrs. Kruger. She's a foster mother for kids who don't have a real mother anymore.
You would not believe it. This woman was unreal, Tom. I put in a call while Winslow had some instant cocoa and a muffin. The county said they'd be sending someone before 5. Apparently, I'm not the first who called them.
Sounds like you two have had an interesting day.
Mrs. Parker showed me how she makes pottery.
She's good, isn't she?
Yep, she's good. You're a student, too?
Well, yes. Yes, I am. Good with my hands, but I'd never made so much as a pinch pot before I met Ellen. And I still have trouble with those. That one up there is the first thing I ever turned on a wheel.
That one there?
Oh, no, that kind of lumpy thing next to that one.
Did you make that one?
Me? Oh, no. I'm not nearly that good.
That, Winslow, was made by Ellen's grandmother, who was a famous artist. That piece should be in a museum.
Not for $1,000,000. That was the last thing she turned. I watched her make it. When I was about your age, Winslow, she was the one who taught me.
It's different from the others.
It doesn't have a glaze. After you finish turning something on the wheel, you fire it, then you glaze it. Only this one never got a glaze. It's fired, but unfinished.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
It is beautiful. Tom, would you?
Get her down from there? Sure. Oof. She doesn't belong up here with this journeyman work anyway. Ugh. This should be in our front window. It's a museum piece.
It's unfinished. It doesn't mean anything to anyone but me.
I like it. It's special. It sings.
it sings?
On the electric wheel. That'd be a great window display.
Oh, careful.
Yeah, I see what you mean, Winslow. That's a good way of putting it. If a pot could talk, the stories that one would tell.
Sing! It sings the story!
What an imaginative little boy.
He's
odd. Mrs. Kruger says I'm odd. She doesn't understand.
No, Winslow, she doesn't. Tom, could I talk to you?
Sure, hon. What's up?
Let's step outside for a moment. We'll be right back, Win. Why don't you show Tom how fast you learn to make a pinch pot? You know, like I showed you before?
Okay.
We'll be right outside. Tom?
Right behind you.
You're beautiful. But I don't think she's heard you sing.
Why, hello, child. I've been waiting for you.
Winslow, what are you doing?
We'll rejoin our story in just a moment, but first, this brief word from our sponsor.
Oh, Barbara, hi. How great to run into you. I've been meaning to call you and talk with you about the Ladies Auxiliary Fundraiser. And might I say, that dress is so flattering on you.
Madge, hi. Thanks for the compliment, but I don't have time to chat, dear. I have to get to the butcher shop before they close. If I don't make it, my family will be without meat for dinner. And you know what they say, if there's no meat, it's not a meal.
I know, Barbara. That's why I never take a risk and make sure my cupboards are stocked with more.
More what?
More, much more, you know, more canned meats, dear. Available in lamb, veal, pork, and beef, these sumptuous, tasty, tender meats mean that I'm not rushing off to the butcher shop each day or wrestling meats out of the freezer. I just pop open more meats and heat and serve. And my family is captivated. Why, I've had time to learn the piano, and next week I'm starting a French correspondence course.
Oh, the butcher shop just closed. Could I swing by your house and get a can of more meats?
Certainly, dear. It's the only meat children ask for by name.
Can I have more, please?
More meats. Ask your grocer if you don't see it on his shelves. Available in savory lamb, veal, pork, and beef. Go get more today. And now, back to our story. Ellen Parker and her husband Tom have encountered a little boy named Winslow, a ward of the county whose putative guardian, Mrs. Kruger, has parked him in Parker Pottery for the day. Winslow has taken an interest in one particular piece of pottery.
Winslow, you mustn't touch that. That belonged to my grandmother.
Okay.
It's very special to me.
I know.
Ellen, what's wrong?
It's all right. Wynn was just taking a look at my grandmother's...
I wasn't looking. I was listening.
Well, listen, sport. This urn is very special to Ellen. You might have broken it.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear her sing.
Hear who sing?
It's all right, Wynn. Hear who sing?
Can I show you?
Winslow?
No, it's all right, Tom. Okay, Win, you can show me. Show me what?
I heard it on the radio. Mrs. Kruger doesn't let kids watch TV, but I have a radio, a little one I found in a drawer. Sometimes I listen to it.
When Mrs. Kruger goes out?
She goes out a lot. One day, I heard them talking about it, on the radio, about how pots can sing.
Winslow, your imagination's very strong, but I don't think...
No, I heard that. It stuck in my mind. They found that ancient pottery picked up the sound of an ancient workshop, a stylus in clay on the turntable, just like the stylus in vinyl on a recording disc.
That's a hoax. Gotta be.
No, you have to believe.
It's okay, Wynn. Show me.
See, Winslow, Nothing.
You have to use your hands.
You have to use your hands. It's what my grandmother always said. It's why she liked ceramics. You have to use your hands. Go ahead, Wynn. It's okay. Touch it. Use your hands.
Why, hello, child. I've been waiting for you.
That's my grandmother's voice.
I can't...
Shh.
Hi, Grandma.
What is it?
Oh, my.
What?
That's me.
Come sit by me here.
I had to be, what, six?
When was this?
Just before she died.
Oh.
How you doing, Grandma?
Oh, I'm tired, child. You know, the medicine makes me weak. But I wanted to see you. I need your help.
Like this?
Oh, just like I taught you. Use your hands. Don't be afraid. Just roll up your sleeves and use the two hands God gave you.
Aw, I'm no good.
Don't say that, dear. I need your help in another way. This work, it needs to be finished.
Finished?
You know, when the things we make are fired and then sometimes there's a glaze. You know, when we paint them and bake them in the oven?
Yeah.
I was always good at glazes. That's what I'm known for.
You're famous.
Yes, the famous ceramicist. Recognized, yes. Acknowledged, anyway. But none of that matters now. My work's not finished. But we run out of time. We all run out of time. So I need you to finish it for me.
Are you going to die, Grandma?
Oh, child, we're all going to die. But before we do, we have to give something to someone else. We have to do that. With all the success I've had, I don't know that I've done that. My work isn't finished. Ellen, I may need you to do that for me. Will you do that for me?
Okay.
Promise me?
I promise.
Why, hello, child. I've been waiting for you. Child, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. Waiting for you. Waiting for you.
That's it. That's her song.
It's beautiful. She was beautiful.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say either.
Phone call.
I'll get that.
Hello? Yes, but she can't come to the phone right now. This is Mr. Parker. I see. Uh-huh. Oh.
Winslow, who sent you?
Sent me?
Did my grandmother send you?
Nobody sent me, Ellen. Something inside you called. Keeps calling.
What are you doing?
You know.
Win, don't touch that. Winslow, don't!
Sorry, I have to go.
Ellen, honey, are you... Oh, no. Your grandmother's urn. What happened?
It's broken. It's broken.
Yeah, I can see that. Honey, what? Where's Winslow?
He's gone.
Well, it's the oddest thing. That was the county calling back. They checked on Mrs. Is it Kruger? The woman you called about. Turns out she had like six kids under foster care, crammed into her basement, her garage. She's at county lockup now. But they have no record of her housing any boy named Winslow. No record of any Winslow in their system at all.
There is no Win.
Ellen? Honey, did you hear me? Honey, what are you doing?
Designing a new flyer.
Free classes for kids. Free classes.
Our educational outreach program.
P-O-T-S. P-E-R-Y. Personal
opportunity
to teach and educate
and recreate youth.
That's the name?
I'm still working on it. It's very new.
You're listening to Public Broadcast Radio, PBR.
What a sweet story. Didn't you think so, Craig?
It was okay.
Oh, come on now, Craig. You can't keep your feelings bottled up like that. Sometimes you just have to pour out your heart to connect with your listeners.
All right, Barley. I'll admit it. It was a very heartwarming tale, and its listeners thought so too. It remained on the air for a number of seasons with PBR.
I got a little choked up there at the end.
Then it's a good thing we have more tissues in the studio here, Barley.
More for me, please.
Earlier in the show, I mentioned that we had a special surprise guest on the show tonight, and now I'd like to bring him out here.
This is exciting. Even I don't know who it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to introduce the man who once played Petey Peterson on The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon, Alvin Bailey.
Thank you for having me on the show, Craig. It's great to be here.
So, tell us, Alvin, what was it like to do radio back then?
Well, it was a lot different than it is now. We were crammed into tiny studios, the air was full of cigarette smoke more often than not, but we sure had fun.
As I understand it, Alvin, the show had quite a rocky start.
That is very true. When the show was pitched to the PBR network, they felt the first few episodes didn't have quite enough oomph to them to entice a listening audience. So the episodes were aired out of order, and the show was almost canceled after only 12 episodes.
That's terrible! Why would someone ever do something like that?
Who can say? But we were fortunate enough to have been saved by a letter-writing campaign from our most devoted fans. Because of them, Captain Fremulon and his crew kept flying.
That is truly fascinating, Alvin. Is it true that you were actually the one who did the voice, as it were, of Quasar the Space Dog?
Yes, indeed. Originally, they had a real dog in studio, but during one of the first episodes, the dog bit Captain Fremulon, so he was having none of that. They asked me to do it, and the rest is history.
Well. Woof! Oh. Well, all of this talk of the show makes me want to hear our episode.
That sounds like a great idea, Barley. Care to introduce it, Alvin?
It would be my pleasure. The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon was a science fiction serial that followed Captain Fremulon and his crew as they traversed the galaxy, righting wrongs and saving mankind wherever they were needed. In this episode, Captain Fremulon attempts to save a damsel in distress. He was so brave.
And we can't wait to hear it.
Melio's, the cereal that packs a whole meal in every bite, presents
The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon! Yes, it's another interstellar escapade of Captain Fremulon, daring Space Ranger and his intrepid crew, Junior Space Ranger Petey Peterson, Quasar the Space Dog, and Wendy. Join this daring cadre of heroes as they hurtle through the uncharted miles of space!
But before we hear today's adventure, I'd like to take a few minutes to speak to the kids out there. And I bet if you ate a big bowl of Melio's this morning, you're full of natural, wholesome energy. That's because Melio's packs all the nutritious goodness of a five-course meal into every bite, giving you that soup, salad, appetizer, main course, and dessert energy you need to ace that spelling quiz, hit a home run at the game, and be a junior space ranger just like Petey Peterson. So ask Mom to pick up a box of Melio's. Melio's, 5 courses, all of them F-U-N.
And now, the thrilling adventures of Captain Fremulon! When last we left Captain Fremulon and his intrepid crew, they had just stopped the spread of a terrible flesh-eating alien bacteria on Boros 5. We now join them as they head out into deep space once more, because an intergalactic space ranger's work is never done.
Well done, crew. If it hadn't been for my last-second heroic actions, the entire planet might have been lost to that terrible plague.
Golly gosh, Captain Fremulon, you were the best.
Well, Petey, I couldn't have done it without you and Quasar.
And Wendy.
Who? Oh, right, her too.
Captain, we're receiving a distress call on the emergency channel.
A distress call? What is it?
It's a message for help from another ship. But that's not important right now. It sounds like someone really needs our assistance.
Well, what are you waiting for, Wendy? An invitation? Put it on view screen immediately. This is Captain Fremulon of the Intergalactic Space Rangers responding to the distress call over the emergency channel. Do you read me?
Hello. Is someone there? My ship has crash-landed, and I'm the only survivor.
Hubba, hubba. I mean, hello. What is your name, and how can I be of assistance?
Oh, Captain Fremulon, please help me. My name is Celestia Moon of the science vessel Hawking. We crash-landed on Ganymede 7 during a routine exploration mission, and everyone else is dead but me. Our food stores were destroyed, and I'm afraid to go out there alone. Won't you please come save me? I would be forever in your debt.
Never fear, Miss Moon. It is Miss, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Captain Fremulon is on the way to aid you. We shall set course for you immediately.
Oh, thank you, Captain Fremulon. I knew I could count on you.
Are you sure about this, Captain? It could be an elaborate ruse to lure you into some sort of ambush.
Nonsense, Wendy. It's never that simple. Besides, the Intergalactic Space Ranger's code dictates that we always help anyone in need of assistance, and she clearly needs me.
Then what about that old scientist who was adrift in space without food or water and had 2 weeks left to retirement that we ran into last week, Captain?
Oh, come now, Wendy. I can't save everyone all the time. Besides, I have to let some of the other intergalactic space rangers save people every now and then. I can't hog all the glory for myself now, can I?
Gosh, Captain Fremulon, you're so full of humility.
That's right, Petey. All intergalactic space rangers need humility to keep them on the straight and narrow. Write that down. Now set course for Ganymede 7, Hyperfactor 17.
Captain Fremulon, maybe I should take the helm. We're getting awfully close to that asteroid field.
Nonsense, Wendy. Petey's doing just fine. He needs to learn to pilot a ship if he's going to become an intergalactic space ranger someday.
But Captain Fremulon, I can barely reach the pedals. I'm scared.
Fear builds character, Petey. Write that down.
Not while you're driving.
Meanwhile, far below on the surface of planet Ganymede 7, the lovely Celestia Moon switches off her view screen and turns to the sinewy, cloaked figure in the shadows.
There, it's done. He should be here by nightfall, Dr. Nefarious.
Excellent. Well played, my dear. You played on the captain's misguided chivalry, like Nero wielding a fiddle.
It was an honor, Doctor, to play even a small role in ridding the universe of that do-gooding space ranger.
And what an end we've selected for him. Such a cruel death for the man who's been the pebble in my shoe of progress for all these years. Are the repairs to my Murderbot complete?
The robot is repaired, but his programming
is fixed.
More or less.
Splendid. I so very much enjoy making the long overdue introduction between Captain Fremulon and my Murderbot.
Hours later, the Star Chaser comes in for a landing on the surface of Ganymede 7. Now the search for the distressed Miss Moon begins.
Captain, shouldn't we have scanned the planet for signs of the crash before landing?
Nonsense, Wendy. That isn't the Intergalactic Space Ranger way. We must search on foot. Besides, how else will Petey become an Intergalactic Space Ranger if he doesn't learn how to track without gear?
Golly gee, Captain Fremulon, do you really need to learn that?
Of course, Petey. One day you might be stuck on a planet without your intergalactic Space Ranger gear and need to survive. And the best way to learn is to be thrown into the deep end and swim. Right, Quasar?
Captain, I think Quasar's worried that Petey might get hurt.
No, that isn't it. He was agreeing with me. But if it will make you feel better, then I'll send Quasar out with Petey. Right then, time to split up. Petey, you and Quasar, go east.
Aye, aye, Captain. Come on, Quasar.
I'll head to that ridge to the north.
And I should go west, right, Captain?
Oh, Wendy, you can be so cute sometimes. No, you need to stay here with the ship. When we bring back our guest, she will no doubt be hungry. Why don't you whip something up in the galley for her?
What? Captain, I am part of this crew and can handle
my own... Sorry, Wendy, can't hear you. Too far away!
Meanwhile, off to the east, Petey and Quasar seem to have lost their way in the heavy jungle. Little do they know, but even now, they are being watched.
Well, Quasar, I think we're lost. I guess I should have marked our path somehow. Nonsense, Quasar. An intergalactic space ranger always finds his way. I'm sure we'll find Miss Moon's ship soon. I heard it too, boy. I don't think we're alone. We should go investigate. I'll be fine, boy. I have you watching my back. Come on, let's go. Something's coming this way, Quasar. What could it be? Oh no! A murder bot!
Oh no! Petey, what has become of our intergalactic Space Ranger cadet? What fantastical fate has befallen our young comrade? But first, a word from our sponsor, for Dad.
Hey, Dad. Right about now, I'll bet you're in your favorite easy chair with a highball in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And if that cigarette is an Excelsior cigarette, well, sir, you've got the ingredient for a perfect evening. Excelsior isn't like those other brands you may have tried, those smokes that barely satisfy. Excelsior packs more punch into every pack and every puff. And it's that punch that knocks out your throat. It helps you unwind after a long day and settle in for a long night.
I'll second that, citizen.
Well, gadzooks, it's the Space Ranger himself, Captain Fremulon.
That's right. And my most trusted co-pilot is an Excelsior cigarette. Ah, the first of many.
So you like them too, Cap?
Friend, there's only one thing that gives me my nerves of steel, my poise in the face of danger, and my supernova of a smile. Excelsior cigarettes.
Whether you're making that sail
or navigating our treacherous asteroid belt.
Remember,
Excelsior!
And now we return to the thrilling adventures of Captain Fremulon! When last we left, young Petey had fallen prey to something in the jungles of Ganymede 7. We now join Wendy back at the ship as Captain Fremulon returns.
Captain Fremulon, is everything all right? You look like you've been running for hours.
That ridge was... Hold on. Ooh, much higher than I expected. Besides, there's no sense in splitting up here on some uncharted world that we didn't even scan before landing. Best to stick together.
And what about Petey?
That young upstart went off on his own to the east. He'll never be an intergalactic space ranger with that attitude. But he has Quasar with him, so I'm sure he will be fine.
If you say so, Captain. Anyway, I was thinking about Dr. Nefarious. Since he broke out of Galaxy Prison, the rumor has been that he's been stealing parts and equipment to build robots. I wonder if he's been trying to build that robot army in order to take over the universe.
Oh, nonsense, Wendy. It's never that simple. I bet he's trying to build an insidious black hole device or a quantum supernova missile launcher.
Captain, what's that sound?
Perhaps a herd of indigenous camel bears.
Camel what?
Camel bears. Everyone knows about the feral camel bears of Ganymede 7. Why do you think I came here to rescue the lovely Miss Moon? I couldn't leave her to those beasts.
And you let Petey go off on his own? With just Quasar to watch him?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Captain, it's Quasar!
Quasar, welcome back, boy.
What is it, boy? Come on, you can tell us. What? What's that? Petey's been captured and taken prisoner by a murder
bot. Nonsense, Wendy. That isn't what he said. Clearly, you need to freshen up on your space dog language skills. Start over from the beginning, Quasar. Quasar, you know I don't speak Venusian. Use your English.
Captain! Something's coming!
Hush, Wendy. Can't you see I'm talking to Quasar? Go on, boy. It all started last Tuesday.
Captain?
What is it, Wendy? Can't you see I'm busy? Oh, Wendy, I don't mean to alarm you, but I think we're surrounded.
Oh, really? Thanks for that, Captain.
Surrounded, our intrepid heroes are taken prisoner. They are marched from their ship up a mountain pass to a foreboding castle made of steel, glittering in the midday suns of the planet.
This is another fine mess, Captain.
Oh, not to worry, Wendy. You're not the only one who knows how to clean up a mess.
Captain Fremulon! Wendy!
Petey! Oh, lad, why did you have to run off on your own? If only we'd stuck together.
Huh?
What a charming reunion!
I know that voice. It can only be one man.
Yes, it is I, Dr. Nefarious!
Oh, yes, of course! Dr. Nefarious!
Captain Fremulon, our dance continues.
Indeed, but this will be your last two-step of treachery, Doctor.
I believe you know my associate, Miss Celestia Moon.
Miss Moon? So you too have fallen into the clutches of this devious fiend.
Oh, no. That's not it at all. I lured you here. This was a trap.
I knew it. Such an obvious ploy. There was never a doubt in my mind this was a trap. Right, Wendy?
Oh, of course. Absolutely, Captain.
Well, now that you've got us here, Nefarious, what's your game?
Inquisitive to the last. I tell you, Captain, but first I'd like to introduce you to someone. He's a new member of my team. A real go-getter. And did I mention he's a murder bot?
Oh, no!
Holy moly!
A what's a bot?
Vex, get in here! Howdy-ho, folks! How's everyone doing today?
That's the murder bot?
I thought you said his programming was...
More or less.
Sure hope I could be of assistance to you nice folks. I'm Vex.
Put her there, Vex. Captain Fremulon, Space Rangers.
Captain, don't be friendly to it. That thing is going to kill us.
Oh, nonsense, Wendy. He seems like a good egg. Vex, my good man, I like the cut of your jib.
It sure is swell to meet you, sir. What? No! No, it is not swell! You're going to torture these people and do away with them.
I am? Oh, golly, sorry about that.
Don't apologize! You're a murder bot!
Well, I, for one, accept your apology.
Gee, that is swell!
Nobody's talking to you, Fremulon! Take them away! Adieu, my dear Captain. I'm sure you'll find the parting of your limbs to be such sweet sorrow.
As Nefarious goes to put the finishing touches on his master plan, our heroes are taken away under armed guard to the dungeons of Dr. Nefarious's secret lair. What terrible tortures await our confined companions? How will they escape from the vicious Vex and his murderous masochism? Let's check in on them and see how they are faring.
I have to say, Vex, for a dungeon, this place is quite relaxing.
Why, thank you, sir. I try to make my guests, victims, as comfy as possible before the horrible torture begins. It's the little things, really.
Well, I know you have to torture us, Vex, but you're A-OK in my book.
Now, that's very kind of you to say, Captain. Could I interest any of you in a spot of tea before the torture begins?
So you can slip us some sort of horribly painful poison before you set to pulling out our fingernails?
Oh, heavens no, miss. I'd never do something so barbaric.
Oh, that's a relief. I like my fingernails where they are.
No, I meant I'd never put poison in tea. I'd never forgive myself for ruining such a delightful beverage.
Captain, what do we do? I don't think Petey can handle torture at the hands of a murder bot.
A what's a bot?
A murder bot. That's what Vex is. He's programmed to torture us to death.
And I'm not even going to ask you any questions.
You monster.
Now, miss, there's no need for name calling. I'm just doing my job.
Vex is right, Wendy. He's just following orders. I think you hurt his feelings. Maybe you should apologize.
To a murder bot? Never.
It's quite all right, sir. I don't actually have feelings, so there's nothing to hurt. But I appreciate the sentiment. You're a good egg, Captain Fremulon, and if I had feelings, I'm sure I'd feel awfully bad about having to torture you and your friends.
Ruff.
And your little dog, too. Don't want to exclude anyone.
I have to admit, Vex, you're awfully polite for a murder bot.
Well, that's kind of you to say, miss, but your flattery falls on deaf audio receptors.
I know, Vex. I was just stating a fact. Say, if I asked you a question, would you answer it honestly?
Miss, I may be a murder bot, but I am not a liar. Ask away and I will answer to the best of my ability.
If someone wanted to power you down, how would they do it?
Well, they'd just have to push the little red button on the back of my neck.
Really? Could you show me?
Why, certainly, miss. It would be rude of me not to accommodate one of my guests, victims' last requests. You just have to reach up and push this button here. It appears I can't reach it.
You could just release my hand restraints and I could push it for you.
Nonsense, Wendy. It's never that simple.
Oh, very well. Now you just push the little red button.
Huh. It really was that simple. Well, that's a nice change of pace. Quickly, Wendy, release the rest of us before he wakes back up.
Captain, I'm pretty sure I turned him off, not knocked him out.
Nonsense, Wendy. You have no idea how a What's-a-Bot works. He could wake up at any minute. So let's hurry and get out of here so we can stop Dr. Nefarious's evil scheme.
Way to go, Captain Fremulon. You're the best.
Having narrowly avoided some sort of torture in the hands of Vex, our intrepid heroes race through the halls of Dr. Nefarious's castle, desperately seeking a way out and a return to their ship.
Holy mackerel, Captain. This castle is full of hallways. Which way do we go?
Blast. This infernal hideaway is like a maze, and we three are like, what are those things?
Rats.
Oh, keep your chin up, Wendy. I've navigated us safely through darker times than this. Now, how's about a smile on that pretty face of yours?
You know, Captain, I think the entrance is down that hall to the left.
Nonsense, Wendy. It's never that simple. Nefarious probably moved the entrance to the other side of the castle.
He rebuilt the castle in a few hours?
I know. He's a fiend without rival. Quickly, my loyal crew, to the right!
Wowzers.
Seems Nefarious didn't move the entrance to the right.
No, he moved his guards there.
Captain, so good of you to join me again. Hope you don't mind that I slipped into something more comfortable and deadly.
Good Lord!
Yikes!
Sorry, gang, my boot came untied. What are we staring at?
They're staring at the metal monstrosity which towers before them, Dr. Nefarious, in a giant robot battle suit.
Huh, would you look at that? What's your game, Nefarious?
So glad you asked, Captain. I'll be wearing this robot suit of armor when I lead my robot army against the universe. Finally, the robot army I've long dreamed of will march with metal malevolence against every planet in the galaxy.
Just as I thought. Isn't that right, Wendy?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What's this? A rogue in a ruinous robot suit? What will our heroes do? What can they do?
Don't ask me.
We won't. But we hope you will tune in next time for another thrilling adventure of Captain Fremulon!
You're listening to Public Broadcast Radio's Hour of Classics, PBR.
Well, it's a good thing the captain had Wendy there to save his bacon.
Too right, Craig. And what an ending. So much suspense.
No, that's another show on another network. Well, folks, this is all the time we have left for today's Hour of Classics. Be sure to join us next time to see what we have in store for you. For PBR, this is Craig Tapper.
And Barley Hopper.
Saying goodnight and happy listening.
More Canned Meats was written by Kathy Brady. Wynn was written by Tim West. A Town Called Mirage was written by Jonathan Tichtor. The Thrilling Adventures of Captain Fremulon was written by James Nigrin. This has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and was sponsored by the County of Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effects artists in tonight's show were Joe Bishop, Don Burnett, Harry Caulfield, Ann Davis, Matthew Ferguson, Jana Francis Fisher, Elizabeth Howell, Don Pulaski, Hannah Pulaski, Emily Powers, John Witt, and me, Rebecca Spence. Music was provided by Starlet Knight. Our sound engineer was Devin Langston. Our production manager was Catherine Ann Bishop, and our director was James Nygren. This is your announcer, Rebecca Spence, saying good night and happy listening.